Psalm 142 opens this way. I cry aloud to the Lord. I lift up my voice to the Lord for mercy. I pour out before him my complaint. Before him I tell my trouble. Now there are a couple of ways that we could look at this text. We could observe that it is a poem, a fine example of Hebrew poetry. What we have here is a classic use of parallelism. What's stated in verse 1 is basically repeated in verse 2, but with different words. It's a technique common to Hebrew poetry. But this is probably of interest to you only to the extent that you're into poetry or that you inherently appreciate the variety of literary genres that we find in Scripture. In other words, this way of looking at the text is probably not terribly interesting or relevant to many of you. But that is okay, because a psalm like this was not written to be analyzed, but to be experienced, to be meditated upon, to be felt. This psalm, like so many of the psalms, speaks more from the heart than from the head. It's raw, emotional, desperate, something that can speak to us in our most challenging times. I mean, which of us hasn't found ourselves feeling desperate, overwhelmed by circumstances in our lives, trying to fight off hopelessness as we take stock of our present situation? Maybe there's a situation at work that's gotten really messy or complicated. Maybe you made a mistake that's caught up to you. Or maybe someone else did, but you're among those paying the price for it. Maybe a loved one's health has taken a turn for the worse, or your child has gotten themselves in trouble. Maybe you worry about choices that your grandchild is making that might haunt them for years to come. Maybe you're feeling stressed about your future. You're not sure what's next, or none of the options before you, they seem very appealing. Or it feels kind of like you're stuck, or maybe you've hit a dead end. Maybe you're reeling from being betrayed or rejected. Those you thought that you could trust have let you down. You're feeling isolated, alone, abandoned. What can you do? Well, one thing we can do, one thing we should do, is turn to the Psalms. The Book of Psalms is the longest book in the Bible. It's a collection of 150 poetic songs and prayers that teach us about God, about us, and about how to best live in this beautiful but broken world. And they're designed to shape how we think and what we feel and what we do. And they're intended to speak as much to our hearts as to our heads. They're intended to be the songs of our soul. This morning, we're going to dig into the raw emotions and important message of one of these psalms. We're going to learn about the circumstances that inspired the creation of this psalm. And along the way, we're going to consider how these words from God should also be our words to him. If you would, please turn with me to Psalm 142. Psalm 142. Whatever we are facing, we can always cry out to the Lord for help. Now, the psalm begins with a desperate cry for help. I've already read it for you once, but I'm going to read it again. Starting in verse 1. I cry aloud to the Lord. I lift up my voice to the Lord for mercy. I pour out before him my complaint. Before him I tell my trouble. So the psalmist cries aloud. He lifts up his voice. He pours out his complaint. He tells of his trouble. The burden of his situation is so great that he cannot keep it to himself. He gives it voice. But he doesn't just cry out into the void or generally towards the heavens. The psalmist directs his cry to the Lord, to Yahweh. That's what the capital L-O-R-D indicates. Yahweh being the personal name of the God revealed to us in the Scriptures, the uncreated creator who made the heavens and the earth, who filled the seas with fish, the skies with birds, the land with plants and animals, and who made humankind in his own image to rule over all of it with him. It was Yahweh who rescued Noah in the great flood, who chose Abraham to make a great nation of and to bless the whole world through his offspring, who sent Moses to rescue the descendants of Abraham when they were enslaved in Egypt, who led them through the wilderness and established them in the promised land that he'd prepared for them, and who would send his son to become one of us so he could live and die and live again in order to rescue us from sin and death. This is who the psalmist is crying out to in his time of need. I cry aloud to the Lord. I lift up my voice to the Lord for mercy. Yahweh, the Lord, is the God who's shown us again and again that he is concerned with the welfare of his people. He's the God who cares. He's the God who loves. He's the God who responds to his people in their times of need. This is who the psalmist cries out to. What do you do with your troubles, with your complaints and heartaches and anxieties? Do you try to keep them inside? Do you tend to bottle them up? I mean, from the outside, it looks like you've got it all under control, but inside you are struggling, maybe even dying. Or do you try to drown them out with shopping or with entertainment or food or drink? Maybe you end up taking out your troubles on others. Does that worry, anxiety, stress leak or even erupt out of you as anger or cynicism or as an overly critical spirit? God gives us this psalm to show us a better way. He wants us to do what the psalmist has done here, to cry out to him, to bring your complaint to him, to tell him about your trouble, and even to do it out loud. Don't ever think that God expects you to have all your stuff together, to be strong enough to handle every situation, to be wise enough to know how to make every decision, to be confident enough to be able to handle every challenge. Stop trying to fake it and instead cry aloud to the Lord and tell him about all your troubles. This is what the psalmist did, and this is what God is instructing us to do as well. Let's continue on. In challenging times, often make us feel afraid and alone. But the Lord is our refuge. Even as the psalmist continues to express what's going on in his heart, now we're going to learn a little bit more about his situation. Verse 3, when my spirit grows faint within me, it is you who watch over my way. In the path where I walk, people have hidden a snare for me. Look and see, there is no one at my right hand. No one is concerned for me. I have no refuge, and no one cares for my life. The psalmist's situation, it's so dire that he's feeling a faintness of spirit. We begin learning a little bit about why. See, there are people who've set a trap for him, some sort of enemy who's trying to set a snare. Opponents who not only wish him harm, but are also actively plotting to bring that harm about. And in this struggle, the psalmist finds himself utterly alone. When he says in verse 4 that there is no one at his right hand, he's describing that place where a friend or a companion or an advocate would stand. But as he looks to his right, there's no one there with him. He's feeling isolated, alone, abandoned. Ever feel that way? Alone, isolated, abandoned? I mean, we've all had seasons of life where we've felt isolated and alone. Even in the midst of a crowd, it is very possible to be very lonely, to feel like there isn't anyone that we can lean on. No one who gets us. No one we can really trust. Let me tell you a little bit more about the situation that seems to have inspired this psalm. Now, if you look up there in your Bible above verse 1, you're going to see the following words. A maskil of David, when he was in the cave, a prayer. Now, these words, they're called a superscript. Some psalms have them, others do not. As best as we can tell, a maskil is probably a Hebrew literary or musical term, but to be honest, we're not real sure. But the rest of the superscript attributes this psalm to David. This is the shepherd boy who became a giant killer and eventually a king. And according to the superscript, this psalm was written or was inspired by his time in the cave. Now, David's ascendancy to the throne of Israel was not easy nor smooth. Even though he'd been chosen by God to be Israel's next king, the current king, Saul, was jealous of David's popularity and military successes. And Saul also likely had plans to begin his own dynasty and to install his own son as Israel's next king. And even though David had remained steadfastly loyal to Saul, Saul repeatedly tried to kill him. David was forced to run and to hide, even living in exile for a time as Saul and his army pursued him. One place that he hid alone was called the Cave of Adullam. This is likely the cave referred to here in the superscript. Likely the cave where David cried aloud to the Lord, lifted up his voice to the Lord for mercy, poured out his complaint, and told the Lord about all of his troubles. But even as all these troubles weighed upon David, the fear, the danger, the loneliness, David acknowledges that the Lord is the one who can watch over his way. Even as his enemies lay out traps for him, David puts his trust in the Lord, knowing that he is the one who can see clearly through every trap and snare and deception that might be set before him. And so David says in verse 5, I cry to you, Lord. I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. You know, challenging times often lead us to feel afraid and alone. But even then, the Lord is our refuge. When we find ourselves in times of trouble, whether caused by circumstances completely outside of our control or even by the intentional efforts of those who would wish us harm, these times are often accompanied by feelings of isolation and loneliness and abandonment. And this only doubles our distress. Almost anything is easier to endure if we don't feel like we're alone. Our reserves of courage and resilience and strength, they're bolstered when we have a friend or a companion to lean on. But even if all of our friends and families and companions were to desert us, we are still not alone. And that's because Yahweh, that's because the Lord, the God revealed to us in the Bible, never abandons his people. Even when it feels like everyone else has forgotten or abandoned you, the Lord is your refuge and your portion in the land of the living. Well, David continues to express his heart to the Lord. And as he does, we learn that the Lord can help us, whether our problem is with people or with circumstances. Here's what David writes, verse 6. Listen to my cry, for I am in desperate need. Rescue me from those who pursue me, for they are too strong for me. Set me free from my prison, that I may praise your name. Then the righteous will gather about me because of your goodness to me. So in verse 6, David asks the Lord to rescue him from people who are pursuing him, enemies who seem too strong for him to resist or to escape from on his own. And then in verse 7, David asks the Lord to change his circumstances. to free him from this metaphorical prison. Well, that means we can do the same. Whether our desperate need involves people or circumstances, enemies or our present situation, or even both, the psalmist shows us that we can bring both kinds of problems to the Lord because he cares about both. And in his goodness, he responds to both. Now, in the closing stanza of the psalm, David expresses his confidence that God is hearing his cries and will be faithful to him. Even though the rescue from his pursuers and the release from his prison hasn't come yet, David still speaks confidently that it will happen. And that is because David has spent his life following and worshiping the Lord. And so he knows firsthand, from his own experiences and from knowing the scriptures themselves, he knows all about the Lord's faithful goodness to his people. Now, I think it's interesting to consider what kind of response and intervention David expects from the Lord, as voiced in the last half of verse 7. In addition to rescue from enemies and release from this metaphorical prison, David also trusts that God will provide him with righteous companions to surround him. Now remember that one of his complaints was that of being isolated and alone. He wrote in verse 4, "There is no one at my right hand. No one is concerned for me." So having brought his cry to the Lord, David expresses confident hope that the Lord is going to provide him with companions. And history confirms that this is what happened. See, even as David hid in the cave of Adullam, his family learns where he is and joins him. And soon others, also dismayed by all that was happening under King Saul, they also join him until their numbers actually swell into the hundreds. David is no longer alone and isolated. And while he continued to face challenges, he did not have to face them alone any longer. And according to the Lord's plan, and with the faithful assistance of his companions, David not only survived, but also rose to power, becoming Israel's greatest king. As we think about that, I want us to consider something this morning. That is that sometimes we can be the answer to people's prayers to the Lord. Now, as I think about this psalm and how the Lord responded to David's cries by sending him righteous companions to gather around him, I can't help but wonder if that means that we should expect to be part of the answer to people's prayers to the Lord. You know, many of us, we're not in positions where we can actually rescue people from their enemies or even set people free from their circumstances. But every one of us could be a righteous companion to that man or woman, that youth or child who's struggling and feeling alone, isolated, or even abandoned. As Christians, we have pledged our love and our loyalty to Jesus. And with that pledge, with that decision, come significant privileges. Forgiveness of sins, the purification from everything that's defiled us. Adoption into the family of God, future resurrection and life in the new heaven and the new earth, and of course, so much more. But with these privileges also comes responsibility. See, because in pledging our love and our loyalty to Jesus, Jesus has then put us into a new covenant worshiping community called the church. And he's instructed every one of his followers to be part of a local church. And our inclusion in this new community, it's a great privilege. But with that privilege also comes great responsibility. to each other. See, now we are to look at each other as family, as brother and sister in Christ. We're to love each other. We're to look out for each other. We are to pray for each other. We are to help meet each other's needs. And that means that no one in this church should ever be able to say with David, at least not for long, look and see, there is no one at my right hand. No one is concerned for me. I have no refuge. No one cares for my life. Because see, that is a prayer that we can and should be answering even before someone lifts it up to the Lord. Psalms like this are not given to us so that we can analyze and dissect them. God has given them to us so that we can experience them and meditate upon them and feel them and use them to shape our prayers to Him. Whatever troubles you are experiencing, whether today or tomorrow, cry aloud to the Lord. Lift up your voice to the Lord and ask Him for mercy. Pour out your complaint before Him. Tell Him about all of your trouble. He's not only given you permission to do so, but if you are struggling to know what to say, He's also given you the very words to use. See, His words to you in this psalm can also be your words to Him in your prayer. And before you leave this morning, take a look around this sanctuary. Look at them. Look at the people who are here. These people are your church family. These people are your brothers and sisters in Christ. These are all people that God has brought together in this time, in this place, to be part of this worshiping community. He put all these people here for your sake. And He put you here for their sake. And so let's be the kind of church where when people struggle and cry out to the Lord, they are also able to say to Him, despite all my troubles, the righteous have gathered about me because of your goodness to me. Let me pray. Holy Father, we praise and worship you for your glory, for your holiness, and for your love. Thank you for being our God who always hears and responds to the prayers and the cries of your people. Rescue us from those who pursue us. Free us from our prisons. Gather the righteous around us. Jesus, we bow before you as our true rescuer, King, and our example to follow. We pledge our love and our loyalty to you. Lead us as we seek to live faithfully in this beautiful but broken world. And Holy Spirit, continue to use the scriptures to shape our hearts and our minds, including the Psalms. Remind us to cry out to the Lord in our times of trouble. And make us sensitive to the needs and the hurts of others who are around us, especially those in our church community, so that we can be part of the Lord's answers to their prayers like you intend us to be. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. test 1, 2, 3.
Okay.